Our scripture this morning is another garden-inspired parable from Jesus. This is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. The parable is in verses 24 through 30, and we'll jump over to Jesus' explanation in verses 36 through 43. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and asked him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" He also replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us this parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So if you've ever heard me preach before, I'm not big on the whole hell and damnation thing. I'm already getting antsy because this ends with Jesus explaining about people, evildoers being thrown into the furnace and burned with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Part of my problem is I don't know how wonderful or good of a person I am. And my mama told me not to say things about other people, because somebody could be saying something about me. Part of my problem is how I understand the world. And it's contrary to this parable. I understand and believe that each and every person is created by God. Loved, beloved by God. Wonderfully created in the loving care of God. And so this idea that some people are bad, that they're evil seeds, that they're weeds that could be coming and sprouting up amongst everything, it just irks me a little bit. And so I think it's just important, before we even get into the sermon too much, to explain that as I go about preaching on this parable, that will be the foundation. I understand people differently than this parable presents them. Because Jesus presents these seeds as either good or bad. And it's just not where my heart is. Sometimes I disagree with Jesus. How's that sound? Oh. This parable is so very interesting. And it holds a deep meaning for a lot of our lives. We talked about it in Sunday school. I read it, and I always ask people to share their opinions. And more than one person said, "I love this parable. It has a deep impact on my life." And I think when we get down to it, the final message of this parable, to let God take care of it at the end, is where I hope to get back to. Let God take care of burning those weeds, casting them out, and let's do what we need to do while we're here in this place to grow that wheat to the best of our ability. So we'll try to get there. But I do have some bones to pick with Jesus about this parable. But before we get there, I want to try something a little different and share with you some newer ideas that aren't necessarily scriptural or in the Bible. at least not the way that they're presented. I think all of them get to a biblical message one way or another. There's this new idea. There's a podcaster slash author whose name is Mel Robbins. Okay, and she has written a book called The Let Them Theory. Have any of you heard of this? You've heard of The Let Them Theory? It's just that, let them. And the basis of this is to free up space in your own head and your own life and your own heart to sort of get rid of some of those stresses and anxiety things that are in your life. Because she says, when you think about it, a vast majority of the stress and anxiety in our lives is our reactions to other people. Now, when I was a little kid, my little brother would pick at me all the time. He was quiet and sneaky about it. He'd pick and pick and pick until I blew up. Aaron, I hit him or something. And I would get in trouble. And my parents would say, like Mel says, don't worry about him. He's going to do what he's going to do. You're in trouble now for your reaction to what he's been doing. You're in trouble now for yelling and screaming and hitting him. You could have ignored him. We know what he's doing. My dad was a little brother too, he said. I know what he's doing. But you're now in trouble for yelling and screaming and hitting. Ignore him. Let him. He's going to pick at you. He's going to get under your skin. Let him. That's on him. Mel tells a story of how this all came about. Her son was going to prom. And she's a mother bee, and she's worried about how her son's going to experience the prom. And she got the corsage for his date and was worried about their meal or their reservations for dinner. And the son says, she doesn't want a corsage. Forget about it, Mom. She doesn't want it. Here, take this. She doesn't want it. Leave it alone. They finally go without the corsage, and they all get in their vehicles to go out, and her husband says, did they get dinner reservations? She says, no, they didn't. Where are they going to eat? Mom, it's not your problem. Let them. They've set up this entire prom evening. Let them. What they decide to do, let them. His prom might be different than if she had micromanaged and got everything all fitted up, but it's going to be okay. Let them. She goes on to describe this theory and how it applies to your life. If somebody at work is gossiping about you and talking about you, let them. Don't let it get under your skin. You can't control what they're saying. Let them. It doesn't affect you one way or another. Let them. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, let them. You're going to get all mad and do something crazy in your car and get in an accident because you're mad? Let them. It's okay. This idea of let them, by freeing up your energy to control what you can control and not react from other people and those things that you cannot control. I hear that in the master's answer to the slaves. The weeds have all grown up. What are we going to do? Where did this come from? Well, the evil one has come and planted them. They're stressed out. All that anxiety. What do we do? What do we do? Should we pull them up? Let them grow. Let them. You're going to make things worse by trying to pull those weeds out. You're going to harm the good that I've planted in all of your stress and your anxiety. Let them. When it's time, I'll send the reapers out. We'll get the wheat. Those weeds will be burned. Don't worry about it. Let them. I think that's a beautiful part of this parable. Let them. We cannot control those weeds growing up. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, because when I read I Live Today, and I've got the spot in the garden up here, and there's lots of weeds. There's some dandelions from time to time. There's the foxtails that are all growing up. There's all sorts of other things that I can't name, but they don't, not what I want. So when I think of those weeds, it's easy to tell them apart. This is not my corn. These are not beans. I'm going to pull them out. Perhaps Jesus is saying when pulling those weeds up, their roots are already wrapped around, and you'll harm your good plants by pulling them up. But the other weed that was so common in this time was a plant, I think it was called dardan. It looked very much like wheat. It was a grass-like grain, but the seeds were poisonous. And as it was growing, it looked identical to the wheat. So when Jesus, when this master says, don't, for in pulling the weeds, you're likely to pull up the wheat as well, it meant very literally. Those weeds that they were worried about that were planted looked identical to the wheat. Now, in past weeks, we've talked about the questions that these parables are answering, right? The parable of the sower. Why are these other folks that hear the same gospel not responding the same way? Why do people not believe in Jesus the way that we do? And those parables answer some of those questions. The parable of the weeds and the wheat answers a different question. They seem to have responded. They seem to believe in Jesus, and yet they're producing differently. They don't believe like we do. They've heard the same gospel, and yet they're living lives that seem to be damaging the movement. They're not quite like us, and it seems dangerous and hard and bad. The other issue that I take with this parable is this whole idea of weeds. I started off by saying I don't believe that people are good or bad, black and white, either or. We have this mix amongst us. And I think that's also my understanding of weeds. We decided, I think there was actually an official definition of weeds in Sunday school, were undesirable plants. I don't want this growing right here. This is not what I'm trying to grow, and therefore it's a weed. My garden spot last year, I had a bunch of sunflowers. I let the sunflowers grow, and they did their thing, and the sunflowers would get eaten by the birds, but some would fall on the ground, and they would always volunteer up the next year. There'd be new sunflowers that grew where the old sunflowers that I planted were. Well, this year I got moved. I'm in a different spot in the garden, and Gary has my old spot. And as the things were growing, I said, oh, there's that volunteer sunflower. There's more growing up. It's in Gary's spot. Oh, no. Gary's going to think it's a weed. He's going to tear it up because it's not corn or beans or tomatoes that Gary always grows. But Gary let it grow. Some of those beautiful sunflowers, as you see coming around the back of the church, Gary left them there. They could have been a weed, an undesirable thing. But he let it grow, and it's a beautiful sunflower. Weeds are often things that are just in the wrong spot. I planted a whole new row of sunflowers, and there's going to be more weed sunflowers next year. Weeds sometimes are just in the wrong spot, and I believe that about people too. Sometimes they just don't fit at work. Sometimes they just don't fit with our understanding of what a good neighbor is. Sometimes they just don't fit. And I have a real hard time imagining the God of love that I worship simply throwing them into a furnace, because it doesn't quite fit my understanding. And so in many ways, this parable is freeing, because it's not the slaves, it's not me, it's not us deciding who's a weed and who's not. God will take care of it. God will decide at the end. There's another proverb that I came across this week. And of course, a proverb is just a parable that's not in the Bible, right? Parables are just proverbs, but they're in our book, and Jesus said them. So this proverb, I think like all good proverbs, it's an old Chinese proverb, you know what I'm saying? They have a bunch of wisdom. So the proverb is that this farmer is working his fields, working and working, sweat and blood into his property. Finally, he saves up enough to buy a horse. And all the villagers, they come around, they said, this is wonderful, you've bought a horse. The horse can help you on the field now. The farmer says, well, maybe, we'll see. Well, the very next day, the horse gets out and runs away. Gone. All the villagers come back and say, your horse has run away. You saved so much, he's gone. This is terrible, this is bad. The farmer says, well, maybe, we'll see. Later that week, the horse comes back. It brought two horses with it. Went off and made some horse friends and brought them back. All the villagers say, well, this is wonderful. This is great news. You bought one horse and now there's three. This is great. The farmer says, well, maybe. We'll see. The next day, the farmer's son goes out to try to break one of the new horses. And in the process, he falls off and breaks a leg. The villagers all gather around and they say, this is terrible. This is bad news. Your son has broken his leg. The farmer says, well, maybe. We'll see. Unbeknownst to them, war has broken out. And some royal officials come through town to conscript warriors to go off and fight. But finding the son's leg has been broken, they say, well, he can't go fight, so he'll stay here. Doesn't get drafted. All the villagers gather around and say, this is wonderful. This is great. Farmer says, maybe. We'll see. On and on, these things that seem so black and white, good or bad, we don't know the outcome. I think of COVID. Undeniably bad. So many awful things. So many loved ones gone in COVID. And yet, we're streaming worship. We figured out how to be connected without being in the same place. There are things, good things, that came out of such a bad time that we hold on to. Those weeds sometimes are just in the wrong place, and goodness can come from them. God can use things that we think are bad and evil if we give them time to say, well, maybe. We'll see what God does with it. There are times and places and people and experiences that our first gut reaction to is, that's bad. A weed, tear it out, get it away from me. And if we take the end of this parable, we'll see. We'll see what God does with it. We'll see what God can bring about from it. Oftentimes I turn myself into a let them parent as well. It doesn't sound as nice because it usually sounds like I don't care. Like when I'm hiking with Madeline, we're going through the creek or that sort of thing. She says, can I go jump on that rock? I don't care. I let her. You might fall in the water. You might get wet. I don't have a towel. You don't have a change of clothes. Go for it. Guess what? She's pretty good at jumping on wet rocks now. This thing has come about where she can do it. So what do we do with this parable? How do we fit this into our lives? Because as much as I'd like to say, oh, well, weeds are just in the wrong spot, sometimes weeds are weeds. Sometimes weeds choke out our tomatoes and our cucumbers and our corn. Sometimes we do have to deal with the weeds. Jesus doesn't leave us hanging. We'll read this scripture sometime later in the coming months. But in chapter 18, Jesus addresses what to do when there's conflict in a church. When there's conflict amongst the believers, go and talk with them. Try to have this reconciliation. Bring them back into the community. Share your concerns with one another. But again, don't simply rip out the weeds. This is a powerful parable. We want good wheat to grow. We want to be like that parable yesterday and yield 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. We want to produce good wheat. There are weeds among us from time to time. Sometimes they can be replanted and put in the places where they belong. Sometimes we just have to wait and let God deal with them later. But that, I think, is the secret. That is the important part of this parable. God will take care of it. The first sin that Adam and Eve made way back in Genesis was trying to be like God. Trying to have this knowledge of good and evil, to be like God and make those decisions. Let God be God. Let us do what we are called to do. To sow and spread grace and love and forgiveness. To water the wheat, to prune the weeds when we need to, but God will take care of those weeds in the end. Amen.